Our scripture reading this morning is Psalm 97, verses 1 through 7. Psalm 97, verses 1 through 7. A song of praise to the sovereign Lord. Verse 1. The Lord reigns. Let the earth rejoice. Let the multitude of isles be glad. Clouds and darkness surround him. Righteousness and justice are the foundation of his throne. A fire goes before him and burns up his enemies round about. His lightnings light the world. The earth sees and trembles. The mountains melt like wax at the presence of the Lord, at the presence of the Lord of the whole earth. The heavens declare his righteousness, and all the peoples see his glory. Let all be put to shame who serve carved images, who boast of idols. Worship him, all you gods. Psalm 97, verses 1 through 7.
As I just said, today we're going to conclude two or three weeks of discussing Thanksgiving in our studies here on Sunday mornings. You know, we began this study a couple of weeks ago by asking ourselves, are we ashamed of the very best that God gave to us? And we used for a reference the Apostle Peter, who on the night of the betrayal denied his Christ three times. And what it comes down to, he found himself in a situation to where it would not be physically profitable for him to recognize himself as one of Jesus' followers. So he denied three times that he was a follower of Jesus. So basically, what Peter did here was show the fact that he was ashamed of the very best thing that God could have possibly given to him. Last week, we talked about counting blessings. We are to be thankful for our blessings, not only during this week of Thanksgiving, when the word will be used many times, but we need to be thankful every day. So last week, we talked about counting some of our blessings, or counting all of our blessings that come from God, because whether we realize it or not, whether we want to admit it or not, everything that we have, everything that we are, everything that we are going to be is a blessing that comes from God. So we need to count them and be truly thankful for the things that God gives to us. Which brings us to today. Today I want to ask the question, why should we be thankful? You know, this is sort of a typical human response, really in anything in life. Why should I do this? Why should I let this happen to me? Basically, at one time or another, we've all asked this question in different forms, like when something is about to take place or when maybe we're about to get involved in something and we may come out with the question, well, what's in it for me? What am I going to get out of this? What profit am I going to make if I get involved in this? And we always ask that question. And whether it's if we're going to join an organization, we may ask the question, well, what am I going to get out of it? You know, most of us can think back to high school. We joined clubs and we were parts of organizations that did different things. And I know that I was involved in a couple of organizations, and, you know, you just work and you work and you work, and it seems like you're not getting anything out of it. At least that's the way it was with one particular organization that I was involved in high school. But, you know, I think what I got out of it is the fact that I can think back about what we did and how we helped the community and how I get to talk about it now because I get to go back and research some wonderful old memories. So I'm getting that out of it. Sometimes we like to ask that question, though, what do I get out of this? It may be when you enter into a personal relationship. What am I going to get out of this? Is this all for me, or is this all for them, or are we going to share the reward? And sometimes we ask that question. Even from a religious standpoint, When we think about God and we think about Christ and the Holy Spirit and we think about the church and we think about being a part of the church and what is involved, what our responsibilities will be as Christians and what the rewards are as Christians, and we can't help but ask ourselves, what are we going to get out of being a Christian? Is it going to be good? Are we going to reap some things that are not so good? And we find ourselves asking this. So, tonight or this morning, I want to ask, what am I going to receive if I'm thankful? If I receive something, what am I really receiving? What good is this really going to do me? You know, even though the Thanksgiving holiday is not a biblical event, it is filled with biblical principles. Because we are taught, nearly from the beginning of time, to be thankful to God for His gifts. So the question that I want us to ask is, how can I exemplify thanksgiving in my life? What am I actually receiving because of what God is doing for me? So this morning, I'd like for us to take a look at some things that we can profit by for being thankful. Number one, being thankful defeats pride. Now, I'm not going to ask anybody in here this morning if you're prideful. I guess to a certain degree we all are. Of things that go good in life and things that we have accomplished, and we're very happy about that. Some of us may don the diplomas on our wall saying that we have been educated and we have degrees that tell us that we're smart, and we go by and we look at it every now and then and we realize, yeah, that thing said I'm smart. Sometimes I question that thing. I don't put it on my wall anymore. Pride is a destroyer. The wrong kind, there's two kinds of pride. You know, we're proud of our children. We're proud of the way they grow up and what they become. And I'm just like that because I am so proud of my two, my three now. Like it or not, he's mine. And I tell everybody, and I may have told y'all this before, I couldn't have went out. If I'd have went out and picked her somebody, it may not have been him, but I could not have done any better. He's mine, okay? I just want y'all to know that. I'm sorry, Alan. You know, I love to watch the top of your head turn red. But pride is a destroyer. Pride will destroy families. Pride will separate friends from one another. Pride will destroy finances. It will bind and change our ethical thinking and our moral thinking in life. And generally speaking, these changes are never for the good of things. Solomon writes about this in Proverbs chapter 16 and verse 18. Pride goes before destruction, and a haughty spirit before a fall. You ever been around people who can't stop talking about themselves and really loves to tell you about what they've done and what they have and what they have achieved and all of this? And you can just see what my daddy used to call that smirky grin. When you do that, yeah, we all know people that way. That's pride. It's a way to let you know that, hey, I'm just a little bit above you, a little bit better. That's pride. And as I said, pride destroys. And Solomon says it right here, it goes before destruction. If pride is a part of your life, this is not a good outcome. John tells us that pride has nothing to do, what happened here? That has nothing to do with God, but it has all to do with the world. 1 John chapter 2, verses 15 and 16, John tells us, do not love the world, neither the things that are in the world. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, the pride of life, it is not of the Father, but it is of the world. In our Bible class this morning, we were discussing a video that we watched last week. And the questions come up, says, why was people just jumping for this lady's defense in the sin that she had committed? Well, it was nothing more than the world. The world had turned them selfish. The world was now thinking, and it was thinking on her part, what I can get out of this, what can be mine, I can be rich as a result of this. That was what was going through their minds. It wasn't what is right or what is wrong. It was, what can I get out of it? What's in it for me? John says it's worldly. The love of the world is not in the Father. And the love of the Father is not in you if you love the world. And we need to know that. And then he mentions the very three things that Satan uses against us every day of our lives. Lust of the flesh, lust of the eyes, the pride of life. Every sin that you have committed has been one of those three. And the next sin that you commit will be one of those three. He doesn't have four. Why? Because he doesn't need it. These three will get the job done. Pride destroys. Pride can cause someone to exalt himself when in reality he needs to be humbled. Some form the belief today that they have made themselves what they are, that they have earned what they have, and I did it by myself. Now, you know, we've all heard the phrase, he was a self-made man. Let me tell you something, friends. There is no such thing as a self-made man. Because there is no man that has walked this planet with the exception of Jesus Christ who has done everything right and has always moved in the right direction and done the right thing. That can't be true. God has given us the abilities that we have, the knowledge that we have, the understanding that we have to accomplish things in this life. Yeah, I'm very proud of that piece of paper that hangs on my wall, that used to hang on my wall, that tells me I'm smart. And I hope that you feel the very same way. And there's nothing wrong with that. But when we take that thing, we flash it in someone else's face and say, look what I did. Yeah. That's where it gets wrong. And we never can say that we have done it ourselves. People succeed because of circumstances, coincidences, and assistance from multitudes of people and opportunities in life. Friend, you never did anything by yourself. Although there will be one thing that you will do by yourself. You will either go to heaven on your own, or you will go to hell on your own. Because you will make that choice yourself. These things are all a part of pride. Again, let's go back to Solomon. Solomon 29 and verse 23. A man's pride will bring him low, but the humble in spirit will retain honor. How many times do you read in Scripture where Jesus walked around bragging about being the Son of God? Was he the Son of God? Yes, he was. Was he happy that he was the Son of God? Yes, he was. Did he brag to anyone about that? No, he did not. We can't afford to live that kind of a life. You know, there's an example I want to share with you. Everybody know who Samuel Morse is? Samuel Morse invented the telegraph. By the way, it is a dead technology now. About maybe 4 or 5 years ago, the absolute very last Morse code message was sent in the public eye. It is no longer used. The only people that use it in any way, shape, form, or fashion is the military. It is a last resort method of communication for the military. Other than that, it is a dead language. It is a dead technology. Samuel Morse was once asked if he ever encountered situations in his work where he just simply did not know what to do. And Morris responded, "Oh, yes, many times, more than I would want to admit. I could not see my way clearly." He said, "So I knelt down and I prayed to my God for light and for understanding." Morris received many honors from his invention because his invention was the very first method that connected this world together. He said, "I made a valuable contribution to mankind. Not because I was superior to other men, but because this was something that God meant for mankind to have. And it pleased him to give it to me." He gave God the credit for his invention. He gave God the credit for his success. And regardless of what you do in life, my friends, you better believe you did not do it alone. Your God had something to do with it. Pride will also keep one from serving others. In Micah chapter 6, verses 6 through 8, he gives us the key to greatness in life. And it is basically a thankful heart and a humble heart. I'm going to begin reading at verse 6. The verse 8 is on the screen. "With what shall I come before the Lord and bow myself before God on high? Shall I come before him with burnt offerings and with calves a year old? Will the Lord be pleased with thousands of rams and 10,000s of rivers of oil? Shall I give my firstborn for my transgression, the fruit of my body for the sin of my soul? He has told you, O man, what is good. And what does the Lord require of you but to do justice, to love kindness, and to walk humbly with your God? Oh, you may do great things. God, I give you 10,000 rams. I light my fire before you. I want you to see me and see what I do." No. Do justice. Love kindness. Be humble in spirit. That's how you please God. And believe it or not, it will please mankind as well. Psalmist David, Psalm 100, one of the most beautiful things David ever wrote was Psalms 100. Verse 3 and 4, he says, "Know that the Lord, he is God. It is he who made us, and we are his. We are his people and the sheep of his pasture. Enter his gates with thanksgiving and his courts with praise. Give thanks to him. Bless his name." Did you hear that word over and over again? His, not mine. I didn't do any of this myself. God has done it for me. It is him that I praise. It is him that I love. It is him that I give all glory to. Not myself. One of the greatest things God did when he created man, he didn't allow him to reach around and pat himself on the back. Because not anybody can do that without hurting themselves. And God knew exactly what he was doing. Thanksgiving defeats pride. And then, being thankful teaches appreciation. Again, I want to go to David, Psalm 107, and begin reading at verse 19. "Then they cried to the Lord in their trouble, and he delivered them from their distress. He sent out his word and healed them and delivered them from their destruction. Let them thank the Lord for his steadfast love, for his wondrous works to the children of men." David is telling us what God can do for you, what he has done for his children since the beginning of time, and the only thing he needs back is our thankfulness. When we are in trouble, we need to bring sacrificial thanks to God. We all may have a turkey on our table Thursday. Some will not. Not because they choose not to, but because they can't. When you sit down at that feast, you need to be thankful for what is sitting before you. And don't reach around and try to pat yourself on the back for it, because it is God that did it for you. Even when we don't feel like it, we need to be thankful to God by faith that He has done it for us. I've had people walk into this building, "How you doing?" "Well, I've been better. But I was able to get up and come here today, and I'm thankful for that." Have you ever been in that situation? You don't feel like it, but you do it. I can't tell you how many times I've gotten in a car back in Alabama and driven 54 miles one way to my work when I didn't feel like it. And when I came home, I still didn't feel like it. But I'm thankful for the opportunity. He is our deliverer. Now, let me ask you this. What and when do you sacrifice for your faith? When was the last time you gave the Lord anything sacrificial? Anything that cost you something? When is the last time you offered God sacrificial worship? When is the last time you gave God sacrificial time? When is the last time you gave God sacrificial money or sacrificial prayer or anything else for that matter? Even though you didn't feel like it, even though you really didn't want to do it, you knew that you needed to sacrifice to your God. When is the last time that you did that? And you may say, "Well, hey, I'm here. I worship today, I'm here. I looked at the screen, I sang the songs, I bowed my head during the prayer, I listened to that crazy preacher up there for an hour." No, I'm not going to preach an hour. I did all of those things. But what is sacrificial about that? You know, the fact that when you walk through these doors, if you loved the fact that you walked through these doors, that's the beginning of sacrifice, folks. When you do what you do for your God because you love Him. And not because you had to throw on that jacket and grab them car keys and walk out the door, "Oh man, I got to go to church." And I wouldn't bet against someone who had done that this morning somewhere. Because sometimes we look at it as a different kind of sacrifice. Sacrifice to God does not come because I have to. Sacrifice to God comes because I want to. That was the difference in Cain and Abel. Abel offered his sacrifice because he wanted to. Cain, he was just going through emotion. He didn't care if it was good or not, and it turned out it wasn't. I'm spending time with God. Today, I'm having to spend a whole hour with Him. Those of you who were here for Bible class, which is about half of you, you spent two. You come here tonight, you will have spent three. By some stretch of the imagination, if you show up again Wednesday night, you will have spent 4 hours out of 108-hour week. Boy, that sacrifice, isn't it? Well, you know, yeah, I'm here. I listened. I put my dollar in the gray box back there. Ain't that what you're after anyway, just the money before I leave? A lot of people feel that way. I prayed, I sang, I listened. So many Christians have such a weak concept of what sacrifice really is. Sometimes we need to rethink what sacrifice really is. Because I've got to tell you, the definition has changed over the years. It's not just enough showing up, putting a couple of cans of food in the pantry. It's so much more. Paul tells us what it really is. Romans 12, verses 1 and 2. I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. That, my friend, is sacrifice. Doing not only what you need to do, but doing what you want to do. I want to be a part of God. You know why? I want God to be a part of me in heaven. I want to be there. I've heard this statement, well, it won't be like this in heaven. Well, you're right, it won't. You may not be there to see it because of the way you live here. Sacrificial life is not just the little things that we do. Y'all have heard me say this 100 times. When you come here, when you worship God here, that is the absolute very least that you can do as a child of God. And I'm not going to ask for a show of hands. I wouldn't expect you to raise it if I did. But there are some that's going to leave this building today that's not going to think about this place until they come back next week. Isn't that sad? Where's the sacrifice, folks? What are you doing for the Lord tomorrow? When you bow your heads on Thursday, sitting around that feast, is that the only time of the year that you will ever bow your head to thank God for the things He's given you? It is something that needs to be done daily, not just on Thanksgiving Day. A thankful heart is a sacrificial heart, and it is a sweet-smelling aroma to God. Then finally, being thankful adds joy to our blessings. We need to be joyful about what God has done for us and not come up with ideas such as, well, it's about time. Why didn't He do this sooner? Why didn't He give me more than what He did? Be thankful for what He's done to you. You know, it's pretty common knowledge that those with great wealth in the world are usually the most miserable people in the world. It's sort of like buying an iPhone. I don't know how many of you in here have iPhones. I have an iPhone. If you have an i14 iPhone, you are behind, folks. 15 is out. Now, how many is going to run out and do whatever it takes to buy that 15? Me, I'm 3 times behind. I have an XR. And if my XR is working next year, I'm going to have an XR. And if it's working the year after that, I'm going to have an XR. You know why? Because there ain't no phone worth $1,000. I am thankful for that XR, mainly because my kids gave it to me. I didn't buy it myself. Blessing and abundance without the knowledge of God as the provider does not bring peace to us, folks, regardless of what we're handed in life. I think the words that I'm about to read, which again comes from Solomon, puts great perspective on the thought of being thankful. This is a fairly lengthy reading, but we need to hear it. Ephesians chapter 5, beginning with verse 10. First sentence, I could stop at the first sentence, but I won't. He who loves money, I'm not going to ask you if you love money or not, will not be satisfied with money. And he who loves wealth with his income, this is also vanity. When goods increase, they increase who eat them. Ain't that true? And what advantage has their owner but to see them with his eyes? Sweet is the sleep of a laborer, which he eats little or much, but the full stomach of the rich will not let him sleep. There is a grievous evil that I have seen under the sun. Riches were kept by their owner to his hurt. And those riches were lost in a bad venture. He is the father of a son, but he has nothing in his hand. As he came from his mother's womb, he shall go again. Naked as he came, he shall take nothing for his toil that he may carry in his hand. This also is a grievous evil. Just as he came, so shall he go, and what gain there is to him who toils for the wind. Moreover, all his days he eats in darkness with much vexation and sickness and anger. Behold, what I have seen to be good and fitting is to eat and drink and find enjoyment in all the toil with which one toils under the sun, the few days of his life that God has given him, for this is his lot. Now listen to the last verse. Everyone also to whom God has given wealth and possessions and power to enjoy them and to accept his lot and rejoice in his toil, this is a gift of God. What this whole thing is saying, it doesn't matter if God gives you a dollar or $1 million. It doesn't matter if he gives you a shack or if he gives you a mansion to live in. It doesn't matter if you drive a doodle bug or a Rolls Royce. It is a gift from God. Be thankful for it. Because he didn't have to give it to you to begin with. And you better bet your last dollar he can take it away. Be thankful. Why should we be thankful? Because thankfulness will help defeat pride in your life. Thankfulness will teach you to appreciate the sacrifice that you make or that he has been made for you. And thankfulness will add joy to the blessings when you receive them and understand that they came from God. So on this Thanksgiving Day, again, my friends, when you sit around that feast, realize who gave it to you. Realize where it came from. It didn't come from Food Lion or Publix. It came from God. And everything that you have surrounding you, from your family to your things, is gifts from God. Today, if you are not a Christian, you are richly blessed. Be thankful. God has given you an opportunity to give your life to him. Be thankful that God has made it possible for you to be a part of him. And make the step today to obey the gospel of Jesus Christ so that you can be a child of his and receive the multiple blessings that come through Jesus Christ our Lord. And Christian, if you haven't been living that Christian life, if you haven't shown thankfulness to God for what he has done for you, and listen, he's done a lot. Repent of that today. Put your life back in line with the understanding and the love and the humility in your heart that God has done this for you. And then live for him in your life with a thankful heart. I hope that we can all leave here today with a thankful heart. This morning, if you need to respond to the invitation, please come while we stand and sing.